Blog Talk Radio.
For bringing us to your Shabbat door. This is your brother Ariel here at Kol Elohim, Hebrew Culture Family, dealing with Hebrew Culture. The segment that Yahweh gave me is Hebrew Culture. Thank you, Abba, once again for bringing us to round two. Round two of Kol Elohim of iniquity, does already work. And that's the next segment. That's going to be the segment for the next 5 weeks, counting the day. 5 more episodes to put into Yahweh's plan, to put into Yahweh's word. If you hear an engine running, that's because I'm outside sitting in the van and I got to turn the air on because it's hot outside, because my Wi-Fi in the house is terrible. It got worse in these last 3 months, but, you know, there's a will, there's a way. So somebody shoot me a text, let me know. I don't know if I'm going to get it, but shoot me a text, a thumbs up, making sure I sound okay and sounding better. So let me open up with a prayer, or if you hear anything. And, you know, we usually would have started at 7:30, but it was Yahweh will we started clock, because between the hours of 7:30 and now, Yahweh really was pouring down. And we really would have been hearing a lot of rain. So it was Yahweh's will for us to start at 8 o'clock. Hallelujah to that. Hallelujah to Yahweh, always sitting on the throne, always guiding, always leading. He knows best. Let me open up with a prayer, family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Todah Abiyah for life, for giving us your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Father, for laying down his life for ours, Father. A life for a life, Father. That's what you asked of us. He laid his life down, and now we lay our life down. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah to that. Father, I ask and pray that all those who may be alien in their physical, in their mental, in their spirit, Father, that you healed them, Father, that you touched them, Father, that you let them know that you're still on the throne and everything is going to be all right, Father. Those who have a little doubt in them, Father, that you remove the doubt, Father, that you renew faith in them, that you strengthen that faith for those who have faith but not that much. Strengthen it, Father. Father, ask for all the emails, all the Akotis, Father, that you strengthen them, Father, and what you have for them to do. All the elders, Father, that you continue to give them your wisdom and your understanding, Father. All the Kohanim, Father, all the Ox, Father, that those who you appoint and call for a certain task, Father, that you continue to give them the strength and bestow upon them your Ruach HaKodesh, Father, your Holy Spirit, Father. And Father, I ask and pray for myself, Father, that you forgive me for my sins, my shortcomings, and my doubts, Father, that you continue to strengthen me as long as all of Israel, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandment, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Amen. And we want to just give a little refresher on what we talked about last week. Matter of fact, let me go to my opening scripture as usual, always in that 2 Thessalonians. And I will be reading out of the WEDA version today. And for those who have it and those who want to know, may read a little different than the King James, but it's close enough. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of lawlessness already works. Only there is one who restrains now until he is taken out of the way. And that's what we want to get to. We want to get and see how the mystery, how this secret thing, how this hidden thing of lawlessness has been taking place for a very long time now. It just didn't just happen, even in the days of Shaul when he wrote this, over at least 2,000 years now he had wrote this, I believe, if I'm correct in my math. But this thing of iniquity, lawlessness, has been going on a very, very long time for mankind. A very long time. But more so, how has he crept in Israel? How has it crept in Israel? And because Israel had his word. And that's what Shaul was talking about right here. Israel has his word. You know, so he's talking about how this mystery of iniquity crept in the church. You know, and he talks about it, how, or the assembly, how it started from men of old. You know, if you keep going down, if you go into the book of Judah, which is the book of Jude in the quote-unquote New Testament, and it talks about how they crept in unawares, these men. You know, they slipped in. They got assembled in the word of Yahweh. And somehow, some way, became leaders. They became leaders of the pack. They became leaders, of Yahweh's word, and they started to change the thinking or the thoughts of the people's mind. Changing the thoughts and, quote unquote, some doctrine of the people. Some doctrine of the people's mind. And that's what Shaul was talking about. Yahushua was talking about, but through Shaul, he gave Shaul the knowledge to see, this lawlessness has crept in. And look at the world today. A ball of confusion. The world is a ball of confusion today because of the iniquity, because of the lawlessness. We talked about how things have been going on in this country, and not just country, but if anarchy is what they're trying to push. Anarchy, they're trying to push lawlessness throughout this country, and we're going to get into who and how and the when and the where and all that, but we just still laying foundation on where we're going, because again, we cannot rush through this, because it's so close to what Yahweh gave Rabbi Yaakov, the demonization of the word of Yah. It actually just turkey back and offered it, and I love how he brought it out, Larry, because we didn't talk, and I didn't know what I was going to talk about, and I don't know the routes which Yahweh going to give you when you sit down and start putting thought to paper. You don't know. You have some thoughts before you sit down, but once you start putting thought to paper or even to this phone and looking up things, you don't know which way Yahweh going to take you. You don't know. But Abba always want two or three witnesses, and that's what I love about him. And it's a constant thing here in Beth Yahweh, in Baltimore, Maryland. It's a constant thing. When one brother is teaching, Yahweh will always bring something up close or just the same, just saying it in a different way, what that teacher is teaching. Because he always wants two or three witnesses. And again, I know as a dead horse that we beat the morays. Prayfully, everybody can see that. Because it's not them brothers. It's the word of Yahweh that's being spoken through them. You know, and ironically, today is Juneteenth, and I'm sorry I didn't get the chance to get into the conversations that the brother was having. I wish I would have been able to get into that and share the thoughts that they had and read the thoughts and how Yahweh was moving on them and showing them what was happening in the world, but I didn't get a chance to. I was trying to sit down and put thought to paper what Yahweh was giving me. And after this, I'm going to go back and read all the thoughts, because, I mean, it was a ting and ting and ting, ting, ting. And I was like, ooh, that word, that spirit was moving. And it was all because Brother Matiah sent out a question, you know, and the question was, do all this camaraderie, all this solidarity, all this support for black people, do it seem kind of weird? You know, it seems kind of weird that you ain't just talking about here in this country. You talking about all over how everybody, they trying to make this a federal holiday, the day that the quote-unquote slaves were freed. We're going to read into that today when we get into it a little, and down the line a little bit. But they trying to make it a federal holiday. And I wish I would have been able to see what my elder was saying, because I want to see it or hear it through an elder, because all I did was be able to read what they've been through, the civil rights movement or some slavery. My elders and my great-grandmothers and my grandmothers, my emas, all of them, they lived through the years of Jim Crow. They lived through those years. All I did was read about them. They experienced it. So now, again, in their lifetime, they experienced all this solidarity, all this coming together. So I can imagine their feelings for it. I can imagine a little bit of, wow, a little bit of, man, I never even could have fathomed that in this country, even in rural white areas, that they are turning and fighting for me. So I would love to hear what my elders have to say, what my emas have to say, because they experienced something that I didn't experience. They've been through the civil rights movement. They've been through Jim Crow. I haven't been through that. I only read it. But now the things we've been through in my life, I've never, ever, to my face, was called the N-word. Never by a white man. Many times by my brothers and sisters, and some was out of malice and some was out of love. Go figure that out, though. You figure that out, because I can't, you know. But as another race, have never called me that name, ever. And I would love to sit down with my elders, my emas, and those of that generation who have experienced a staunch racism against them. I have never, never. I have had that. Yes, I felt police brutality. Now, I watched the movie Selma today, and we're going to get into that a little later anyway. But police brutality, I've been through that before. I've been snatched out of cars, and I didn't have my arms almost broke putting in these positions from police brutality. I remember coming out of Charlie Hill and how it happened, and the black cop was worse than the white cop. At that time, the white cops were trying to chill, and the black cop was trying to break my arm. And I was like, because, you know, I was young. I remember police, we stand on the corner. We used to have a cop over the west side, and they called him RoboCop. Brother Shabba may have heard of him. They called him RoboCop. He would jump out you on the corner, proud, bang you straight in your jaw. Straight in your jaw. And dare you to say something. Get off my corner. I have witnessed that. I have experienced that. Police brutality. I have experienced being pulled over for nothing, or what they will call driving by black while black. I have experienced all that. Experience, he roll up on the corner. If I come back, I'm getting out and we're fighting. This is the one who was supposed to protect and serve me. So I experienced that part. But I never experienced the racism that what we have as a people. Now, I know it exists. I know all of it exists, but, and maybe I have experienced, but it wasn't directly in my face. It wasn't, or I didn't understand in the way that I was experiencing it. And now you come up to this young generation who have not truly experienced racism the way our elders have. Or I remember when we moved on the east side for a brief moment, and it was this school called, I think it was Hamilton, and they were like, don't go to Hamilton because them white people will chase you home. And I'm thinking, coming from the west side and in black neighborhood, and I was with white people would chase. I mean, we'll beat the brakes off of white people try to chase us home. And the white people want to chase us home. But that was our mindset because I never experienced that. But they said, you go up to Hamilton, white people chase you home. And I was like, what? Really? White people chase you home? In my mind, that's unheard of because I've never experienced it. But those who experience, like, oh, yeah, they racist. They don't like black. you know, but it was about the experience. And that's why I would love to talk to my elders about their experience and what they see now and how they feel now. How you feel now with all the solidarity, all these people that's speaking up for you. And Rabbi asked a great question. I did get that far in the conversation. What's next? What's next after all this solidarity? Have people's hearts have truly changed in these last 3 months that we have been in this pandemic? I'm not going to call it a pandemic. It's a pandemic with an L. Have people's hearts and minds truly changed towards people of color or the descendants of Yaakov, Israel? Have they truly changed? Or is something sinister, again, like we talked about last week, lying underneath of it? We're going to read some things today because it's all about Yah and Yah's will for Israel. The bottom line is all about Yah and his will for Israel. Now, is it Yah's will that these people turn and treat us as equals? Is it Yah's will that, and these are rhetorical questions, is it Yah's will that the world give us the shalom that we're looking for, that the world give us peace that we're looking for? Is that Yah's will? Is the world give us equal rights that we're looking for? Is that Yah's will? See, along with all the solidarity, we as believers, we as Israelites, have to ask that question. Is it Yah's will? And he just thundered on that. That's the question we have to ask. What is his will for Israel? For the world to give Israel shalom? Is it for them? For the world? Is it? And another thing, back to the story of Salma. I watched it today at work. And I don't know if this part is fiction or if it was put in there by the movie, because it was one part when Martin, I know this part is true, when Malcolm got his eyes open and found out about the Nation of Islam, that the whole nation was a bunch of agents, because the top was agents from Khan and what's the guy named they love so much? I can't even think of his name. Muhammad, from him on down, because come to find out that they was bugging their house. And all of them was agents. All of them. In Elijah Muhammad's camp, they were agents at the top level. Agents for the government. Once he found that out and they couldn't turn him, he realized, hey, I'm going to need my brother. I'm going to need Martin. So he goes down to Selma and he talks to Loretta. And Loretta goes to see Martin while she was in prison, and Martin was mad that she talked to him because he said he Negroes and he talked bad about us on national television. He talked bad, and look at him. And this was his words. I don't know if they was his exact words, but you can see. He said, what had he done for our people? What I'm doing is changing laws. I'm getting laws changed. And I thought and said, wow, I wonder if Martin really felt that way. But if he do or not, there's millions of black people who say, I'm a Martin, or I'm a Malcolm. They feel that way. What did Malcolm ever do for us? He actually, and I'm not bigging up Malcolm in that sense, that he did anything for us in that sense. Think he is a good man? I think Martin was a good man. Even in Martin's ideas and what he fought for, I think he was a good man. But in my opinion, in my thing, and what I feel, who's going to do the best for Give me Gershon Ben Daniel over both of them. Give me Gershon Ben Daniel over both of them. Because what Gershon Ben Daniel, Rabbi Gershon Ben Daniel taught is the ways of Yahweh. Give me him. He's going to take me back. And with Martin, getting laws changed. I'm changing things for my people. And here we are, 50-some-odd years later, we're still asking for the same thing. We are still voting, still hoping. And that's why I started off the way I started off, because my elders lived through that. They lived through Jim Crow. They lived through the Civil Rights Movement. And today, 50-some-odd years later, we're still asking for the same thing. But now, not just that. We are seeing rural white people fighting for us. You see, are they really fighting for us? Is there a sinister underlying meaning behind all of this? We're going to get to that. We're going to get to all that. But the very question we have to ask, what is the will of Yahweh for his people? What is his will for his people? We have a history book that tells us what is his will for us. We don't need no government. We don't need no fake holidays. And that's the big thing today when I was on Facebook. Israel is arguing over, should we celebrate Juneteenth? Should we celebrate it? And one brother in Israel is so, they don't know. They don't know. One brother said, why not? Then he's going to go to Amos and put in Amos, I believe, I can't remember exactly what, but y'all understand me, he said, y'all feast days that I hate. Y'all, he didn't bring out scripture to back up. We should keep this pagan holiday. We're feeling good right now. Even Israel is being drawn into it. Just Juneteenth thing, the celebration of black love, of human beings, camaraderie, everybody that's coming together. And then I love the question that Yahweh put in Rabbi's mind. It's like, what after that? What after that? What's coming after we all come together? What after that? We all ain't praising the same mighty one. So there's going to be some friction. There's going to be some divisions because we all ain't on one accord. But we on one accord for this thing right here. Kind of take you back to Bereshit in the beginning when Yahweh said man is of one mind right now. They all coming together. But that's another food for thought. Let me read this article that I didn't get a chance to read last week. And that was the FOBS. We everything goes through today. I get to read some of these articles. And I thank Brother Shabba Al for turkey backing and being a witness to what Yahweh has given me, and he had came back his last teaching this past Shabbat, and he explained what Yahweh meant when he said, stand down, Israel. He had to go back and he explained that. He gave more clarification on what stand down means. He even said that is a military stand, a military quote, a word of a military. And best believe, everything we talked about is a military thing. That if you don't know that you are in a war as a believer by now, something's wrong. Or are you being lullabied to sleep with all this camaraderie and solidarity? Are you being lullabied to sleep if you don't know that we are in a war right now? We are in a war. And I talked to my brother Ahalwell this week, because last week we started off and I said that Yahweh said, stand down. but it's much more that he said to me. I just didn't say it. I just didn't say it. I was waiting for the right opportunity to say it. I only said when he, the part of it, when he said stand down. But when we started talking, when Yahweh started talking last week, he started talking about how in the gutters, they're sitting in the cracks, they waiting to strike. They got there in these camps off grid. They waiting. And talking to my brother yesterday, because at my job, I work out in Joppa Town, one of the houses that we were in. And out in Joppa Town, I was standing on the porch, and yesterday, this was the second time that it happened to me, that two white guys rolled by, and they waved at me. But because I was already privy to that wave, I understood what he was doing. Because at the other house, when I used to drop off another client, the white guy would come out to me, and he would always wave. He would start at his temple, and he would just bring his forearm forward, but never noticing what he was doing. So I'm just dumbfounded to it, waving back. Hey, how you doing? Never worried about what he was doing. Not until another client, a client got out the van, and he waved at both of us, but it was in, he took two shots. He shot us. So every time this man was waving at me, he was actually shooting me because his hand was in a gun form, but he would start from his temple, his right temple, and he would point at me, and he would bring it back. So, he'd been shooting me all that time. So me, I understood what he was doing. Every time he did it, I did it right back at you. I know what you're doing. So I'm pointing back at you, and I'm letting you know I know what you're doing. So the last couple of weeks ago, white guys came by and they did it. Yesterday, they did it again. He waved in the exact same motion that the other white man did. And I was like, damn. Wow. This thing is real. These people is ready. There is some serious deep hatred going on here. So the other day, a couple of weeks ago, when Yahweh woke me up, and he was talking to me about stand down, Israel. He also, I believe it's Luke 22:31. I pray that's it. I'm going to read it. But I'm going to finish telling you the story because we're building. But Shabbat said something on the priest line a couple weeks ago. And it wasn't until Mariel brought it to my attention that it didn't dawn on me until Mariel brought it to my attention. Ain't nobody say nothing. When Shabbat put out, right now, can you defend yourself? If somebody kicked in your door, can you defend your family? Do you have to defend your family with? Can you defend it if somebody kicked in your door right now? So that was the scripture that all I also was woke up with when Yahweh woke me up with, stand down, Israel. But prayfully, you heard what Shabbat said when Yahweh gave him the breakdown, what that meant. But also, this scripture came to mind. Right here, let me get it. Now, I believe it's Luke 22:31. I believe so. Luke 22:31. If my thoughts and my memory correct. Oh, no, that's not it. Oh, when I said before yesterday. Oh, man, that's not it. That's what Satan wants to decipher. Okay, here we go. Start at 35. Let's get the whole thought of what Yahushua is saying. He said to them, when I sent you out without purse and wallet and shoes, did you lack anything? They said nothing. Listen to it. Listen. Then he said to them, but now, contrast, whoever has a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet, whoever has none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword Hold up, Yahushua. What are you telling us? Why is this in the word of Yahweh? What are you telling us? I see you out with nothing at first, and you like nothing. But now, go by a sword. For I tell you that this which is written must still be fulfilled in me. He who has counted with the transgressors for that which concerns me has an end. I'm about to go off the sea, Israel. I'm about to be gone. Go get your weapon. Go protect yourself. He ain't that one that they teach, that we've been taught since we've been brought over here. He's not that Yahushua or that JC. He told them, at first I sent y'all with nothing. You got some money? You got a wallet? You got some money in that wallet? Go buy some wood. What? What? Shabbat asked that question. Can you defend your home? And Yahweh said, because troubles are coming. Troubles are coming. Troubles are coming. When they say what? Peace, peace. Be for real, be for sure. And know that destruction is coming right behind it. That is the word of Yahweh. The whole word of Yahweh is telling us to be prepared. In several different ways, he's telling us, prepare yourself, Israel. Prepare yourself, Israel. The mystery of iniquity does already work. You think they're going to let Israel come to fruition? You think they're going to let this nation just rise up? So they meet us at the corner. Let us come up and come back to be Israel? No. When Yahushua came on the scene, you think that leaders at that time wanted to give over power to him? Because they know they got to give over power to Israel when they come back. They know who is power. You think they're going to let us just rise like that? They know the prophecies better than some Israelites. Because they still need to be taught. They know them. They're not going to let us just come back and be Israel. You know what? Let's all come together. We all human beings, right? Ain't nobody greater than nobody. That's not what the word of Yahweh said. He said, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. You think they want to give that up? You see Israel rising? They try to cut them off at the pass. If we could just come together, let alone slide this LGBT and whatever alphabet they want to call themselves right along with them. Right along with them. Because if one of my elders could tell you, back in those days, black people didn't get rights. Somebody else got rights. Again, how much rights we going to get today? They didn't already, soon after this thing, the man was dead and buried. Didn't already gave these LGBT people a ruling, a right. The same day the man was buried, before he was even buried, they didn't rule something in their favor. They didn't gave them rights already. So they tailgating, they turkey-backing off youth movement again. My rabbi told us that years ago. He told us that years ago how other nations have turkey back off of the civil rights movement and moved in right in front of them. But let's go. Let's read this. And now let's see what the word of Yahweh says. I mean, we just read the word of Yahweh. Let's go back to it. I didn't read Psalms, and I want to read that because, again, it is a military style. A military style actions that's being taken against you, Israel. And yes, we're living in the United States of America, and yes, everybody is being affected, but we know at the end of the day who is behind it all. Satan, the great dragon who defeated the whole world, he is behind it all. It's all him sitting in the shadows. sitting in the shadows, moving upon man, moving upon him. And it's getting so bad that evil is right out in our faces now. But Yahweh said that in his word. He said that they're going to call evil good and good evil. Do we not see the word of Yahweh coming to truth? Are we not seeing what the word of Yahweh said? Or are we being lullabied to sleep with this camaraderie that loves everybody, which we're supposed to? Not saying that. Let everybody come together and be one in this great big one melting pot. No, not so. If we can come together one under the Torah, one law, we can become one like that. You can turn away from your wicked ways. We all can turn away from our wicked ways and be one under Torah. If we can't be one under Torah, we can't be one. We always have division. So soft, you know, is a psychological operation, which we wanted to get to last week. Our operations to convey selected information and indicators to audience to influence their emotions, again, their emotions, motive, and objective. Objective, the behavior of government, organizations, groups, and individual. And then they get into the United States. The purpose of United States psychological operation is to introduce or reinforce behavior favorable to the U.S. objectives. Now, we got to ask these questions. Who is being favored? What are these U.S., or not the U.S., what is this objective that somebody has? What is this direction that somebody is being sent to? Who is getting their behavior changed? Who is getting it to go along? And who with? Who with we are getting this thinking to go along with? Who? And why? Who's behind all this? We'll get into that later. We know at the end of the day who's behind all this, but we want to see the mystery of iniquity. We want to see how this thing has been moving through the centuries, through the years. So let's get into today's lesson. Excuse me. And today's lesson, last week was stand down Israel, and now we want to see the false hope. The false hope. And again, that's why I wanted to talk to my elders, is because they lived through it. They experienced it. Their emotion is going to be a little bit different than mine because they experienced it. I could read it. I could do a lot. But if I have not experienced it, I will not have the same feeling or the same thoughts that somebody who experienced it had. Totally different thing. Totally different. Can I come to the same conclusion? Yes. But it wasn't the same path. It wasn't the same experience. And this was another one that Abba have took me to. You know, because this wasn't a question that was asked to me. And this was my coworker. Had a good talk with my co-worker yesterday. He had a good talk with my wife the other day, too, about the word Yahweh, which is good, which was perfect for me. And the question is, why? Why? And his question yesterday was, why are we so hated? Why is it? Because that's all the TV is showing. Again, the TV is showing all these atrocities that happened to black people over and over again. And they're showing, they is directing the minds of the people. They are directing the minds of the people because at the same time, they're showing solidarity. They're showing how white people, enough is enough. You cannot keep treating black people like that. We won't have it no more. You will not keep treating black people like that. So you being said, a steady diet of that, a steady diet of the racist count, you being fair, a steady diet of the solidarity, you being fair, a steady diet of the racism that's brought to us. And over, everybody got these stories. They're telling you these different stories, and all they're doing is feeding the mind over and over and over again. How are you going to feel at the end? And then what they also is doing is sprinkling in, we need to get rid of the cops. We need to defund the police, along with all other things they sprinkle in. And another thing they sprinkle in, which he makes it easy to sprinkle in, Donald Trump is the worst president. He is the most racist president. He is this. Hate Donald Trump. Hate Donald Trump over and over. He said this. He said that. He said this. And they've given us a steady diet of death over and over and over. So if you turn on ESPN, that's all they're talking about. Every sports show is talking about this thing that's going on in this world right now. Again, a steady diet of this. What you eat is what you are. And what I used to tell my kids, I still do, is if you sit in front of that TV and you put all that in all the time, but you don't have a filter, that's how you're going to think. And you know, for the most part, 99.9% of the people out there have no filter. What is the filter? The filter is the word of Yahweh. They're able to filter and sift all the foolishness out, and only the good things will drop in. You know, your mother used to take that screen and put that flower on it and shake it. That's what the word of Yahweh is. It only allows what's good. And every now and then, if something that's wrong and bad get in, it goes in, it goes be like a detector, and go get it and get it out of there because you can't stay in there. That's what the word of Yahweh does for us. But if you don't put the word of Yahweh in, you have no filter. You'll just rely on your emotions, and you will be emotionally led. And that's what's happening to the world. They are being emotionally led, and we should be led as believers by the Ruach HaKodesh. That should be leading us. The Ruach, the Holy Spirit. That is our filter. That is how we move. That's how we become spirit-filled. Logical thinkers. Spiritual thinkers. That's how. By feeding that word within your mind. By meditating with that word. By even going back through the archives and getting lessons over and over again, because the emotions, we are emotional beings, especially black people. We are filled with emotions. I mean, we don't just have our emotions that's within us. We have our ancestors. We have our mothers, our fathers, our great-grandmothers, and we have oppression within our emotions that has been passed down for centuries. So anything emotionally, we get very emotional as a people. We get very emotional as a people. Even over the most smallest things, our emotions rule over us. Over the smallest things, our emotions rule over us. How many of us who paid 50, 60, or a little bit more for some tickets, it doesn't matter. And I believe Cedric the Entertainer, he said this. And think of the psychology here. Think of that. Think of the psyche and what goes into it. You spent this money, $125, whatever, on some tickets, and you running late, and you get into a show. And it's not in your mind to say, you know what, if somebody's sitting in my seat, I'm going to kindly ask them to leave. No, our emotions don't kick in. You know what, I wish a woman would be in my seat. I didn't pay the $125 for these. I wish he would. and we end up in the fight. We missed the whole show because we got emotional and instead of staying within our boundaries, within the ruach. Hey, my brother, these are my feet. Get your usher. Here's my ticket. Calmly. No. But ain't nobody gonna take nothing from us. And that's the mindset. You know, we got what's up with you? What? I'm thinking out of experience because I was like that. Until the New York Hospital. And even now, I got to catch myself and pull those thoughts back. Hey, get it right. Put that under subjection to what Yahweh said. These thoughts, these emotions, get it under subjection. We're going to need it in these last days. We're going to need it in these times right now. But, well, I'm moving. And this is an article. Let me see who it was written by. So if you wanted to look it up, this is written by Code Switch. And yeah, because it says subscribe to Code Switch. And the question on the article is, why now, white people? Why now? And, you know, that's some of the questions I believe some of the brothers was asking. You know, why now? Why did y'all get a heart all of a sudden? Why is it now? All of a sudden, y'all want to turn and say, we love y'all. Y'all humans just like us. Why now? And this is a long article, and I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to read some points in it, down to some points. So it seems the country is having a racial reckoning again in broad support of Black Lives Matter movement, even in alabaster white cities, which black populations. The top of the New York Times bestseller list was seemingly fueled by the same energy. White folks, me and white supremacy, how to be an actor. And you want to talk about race? Undoubtedly, as a result of the many and many reading lists published in the last few weeks meant to help white people think more critically about race in the United States. It's a psyop. Remember that word, fam. Remember those definitions. In your spare time, go look it up. Put that in your library. Remember that. Who he said was putting this up? This in Time Magazine. This is in Time Magazine on how to be an anti-racist. Go back, fam. It's a psyop. Oh, man. Best of it. Okay. All right. Our own podcast shot up to number one on the Apple Podcast charts. It was frequently mentioned on the aforementioned list, and with it, our social media account gained tens of thousands of new followers, many of whom appeared to be white. Over the course of just a few days, at the same time, several major polls showed that white support for Black Lives Matter movement, I wonder why, which was underwater at the time of the Ferguson protest in 2014, had spiked in the recent weeks. Some major shifts appear to be happening with a large cohort of white people, but why now? The events that catalyzed this zeal among them were clear in their urgency. There was a horrific video of a Minneapolis police officer kneeling on George Floyd's neck, which followed the police shooting of Breonna Taylor in Louisville, which followed the shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. But of course, the recent history of the United States is replete with disaster like this. Our Donna's death in Staten Island in 2014 at the hands of a police officer was very similar to of George Floyd. Philando Castile was killed by an officer in 2015 in a shooting not far from Floyd was killed. Both those encounters were captured on videos that went viral and became national news. weren't those cases sufficient, sufficiently outrageous? So I decided to ask our new white followers on Instagram what had changed, either in their world or in their personal lives, that moved them to finally get sidelined, as many of them were putting in their posts on the platform. Their person, their responses, and there were many. We're a stew of zeal, frankness, and some embarrassment. Many people say they weren't sure why this movement was different. There was a nuance and personal texture to the responses, but several overreaching themes quickly emerged. The first part, not surprising, was President Trump, who was the reference directly or almost every message I received. Some people said that this has Democratic on race made the problem of Americans' racism legible to them in a way it hadn't been before. If more than half of my country supported Trump and agrees with his views, we have much more work to do than I had previously imagined, one person admitted. Others said the shock of his election sparked their personal political awakening, after which they attended women's marches and became more in their community and online. So by the time this current movement arrived, they were more plugged in and experienced political actors more habituated to protest. Still, other people saw Trump and the federal government's mishandling of the pandemic response as a big factor in, indeed, the role of COVID-19 in general was another major theme in the response, as a threat to our own health, for example, or as a disruptor of routine. Again, a disruptor of routine. Some people said straightforwardly that the movement has caused them to worry about their physical and economic well-being, and the lockdown had taken away many of the distractions that allowed them to ignore equality. And I'm going to stop right there, but hopefully you can go in yourself and you can just go on Google and look it up. And it's called Code Switch, C-O-D-E, Switch, S-W-I-T-C-H. And why now, white people? Because there's much more to read in the article, and I hope everybody heard the little things, the little nuances that was in there. Shema, Israel, Shema. And I was going to read this other article that I had. I'm going to read just a little bit of it. Pray for me if it come up. And this right here is what we talked about a little earlier. And this is I'm trying to find the name for it. It's on here. So it's by Michael Snyder. Michael Snyder. The massive exodus, police officers all over America are quitting their jobs, citing lack of support. Now, why is that an end goal for the anarchists? Or why is that an end goal? Or why does that help? How does it help us for the police to quit? It doesn't. It doesn't help us for the police to quit. And this article came out, I believe, yesterday. I believe yesterday it came out. That a mass exodus. But that's the thing. Think about it. You being ostracized at your job, now everybody ain't just talking about you're a bad cop, but you have more good cops than bad cops again. But on top of that is they trying to defund you. Already alone, you out there working in one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. to be a cop in Baltimore City ain't no joke. These young kids don't respect you. They don't respect the badge no more, although it's on both sides. But again, all the young kids is my bad, and all the blacks is my bad. I mean, all the cops is my bad. They're all some good cops. I know there was a good cop, not the one that we call RoboCop that would get out and beg your face, but there was some cops that truly cared. They'll get up off this corner. Why you in that school? They truly care. Truly care. Truly want to make a difference. But if there's a mass exodus in cops here in Baltimore City, we already 200 to 300 cops short. Now, what we have left, if they quit, where are we going? What are we going to do? We need the cops. Reform, yes. But don't defund. Reform. That's a dangerous job. I say dangerous job. Reform them. Get rid of the ones, the bad apples, if you can. And when you see them doing that, if you prosecute them and come down on them, they wouldn't be as bad. They wouldn't feel as though they are protected. You didn't have to jump through so many hoops just to prosecute a cop. Remove those laws. And the good ones will stay and the bad ones will leave, hopefully. But if you want, it's by Michael Snyder, and you can go and you can read this article right here if you want. Matter of fact, let me read just a little bit of it, because we're talking about the mystery of iniquity. We're not going to lose focus of that. Even during the best of times, being a police officer in one of America's major cities is extremely stressful. And these are definitely not the best of times in 2020. The entire profession has become the target for a vast nationwide opportunity, outpouring of anger and hatred. And who is feeling this? Who is, again, we talked about the media. They are feeling it. They are feeding the public a steady diet of this. It doesn't matter if you are a good officer or a bad officer, because everyone is being lumped together. Every single person that put police uniform understands that they are putting their lives on the line every single day. But now, that is even more true than ever. All over the U.S., police officers are being attacked, abused, and targeted for violence. And I can't even imagine what it's like to never be able to let your guard down. Now, okay, well, welcome to my world. Welcome to the black man's world. Because someone could assault you at any moment. Yep, welcome to the black man's world. And even if you never get physical, yep, welcome to the black man's world. Attack. Most officers must still endure the mental torment or knowing the vast number of people want them dead simply because they have chosen to serve in the police. For Winchester, Tennessee police officer Dustin Elliott, that was one of the main factors that caused him to quit his job. I'm going to stop right there. There's much more to read. If you want in your spare time, you can go read it. You can read it in your spare time. I got another thing we're going to read just before we get into some word, because today we're talking about false hope. And I want you just to listen to these words. And listen to these words and compare them to what's happening today. And see how you're elder if you live through those days. And once I read it, majority of y'all will know where this comes from. Y'all have heard it before. But it never, ever pointed to us. And once you understand what I'm going to read, once you hear what I'm going to read, you'll see why we feel the way we feel about today in Juneteenth, in Kwanzaa, and everything else that we can call our own. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That never was for us. We know what that was. It's about to come up July the 4th. We know what that where that come from, right? We know that never, we never felt those words, even for the American, the Black American that thinks that he's a part, that he has the American dream points to him too. Even for him, he never felt those words. He even felt the way that cop felt. I never felt at ease, especially when he was alone in his car and a police got behind him. He never felt at ease. So these words right here, they never rang true for us. But today, it seems, though, it's raining true. It seems, though, today, and today is Juneteenth, which shows back into the 1800s. I got that down here somewhere, too. One more paraphrase. Goes back into the 1800s when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, but 2 years later, Texans had hid it from Black people, but 2 years later, they found out, hey, we were free 2 years ago, but in Texas, they never told us. So they came up, and I forgot the guy's name that came up with the idea. I'm going to look at my movie. I'll get you his name if you are a history buff, if you want the knowledge to write down for your notes. And he came up with the idea, like, well, let's start our own day of freedom. We never felt this way in the United States, that we were free, and July the 4th don't point to us, so June the 19th point to us, Juneteenth. That's our day right there. That's the day we were free. And again, online, they had a big argument about Israelites. How you an Israelite thinking you free? You know you're not free. But again, I'm telling you, there's many people arguing that we should keep Juneteenth. Why? And I understand the emotion behind it. I understand why they feel that way. But I also understand that it is something demonic, sinister behind it. And it's not the freedom that we have. It's not just from Yahweh. I understand it. But I do understand the masses, the majority, why they feel that way, especially my elders that been through, and my emails, that been through Jim Crow, that been through the Civil Rights Movement. And for now, for Nike, for Atlanta Falcons, and for all these major companies to say it's going to be a federal law, that they're going to make this into law, and it's ours. It's about Black people. It's about us. I understand that emotion. How, and when you look into your emotions, it can make you feel good. And you got your guards. Also, make you relax, make you eat, make you say, I have arrived, a part of the American dream. They have finally given us what the dream is. It's finally coming to that. We're finally getting our part of this American dream. And for that starts, believer in the democratic system, you can't tell them that it's not the American dream. And they don't well up. They don't well up with emotion and overwhelmed with tears and rejuvenation. They're so happy. You can't tell them that. Those who really rely on this democratic system that we live in, you can't tell them that that's a flaw. You can't tell them that, man, there's something going on that, you know, let's hold back. Let's just wait and see. Let's not just give them, go home and drop our guards and say, we trust you. Come on in. No, let's wait and see. That's just, boy, this country and these people, it ain't never been fair to us. So let's just wait and see. No. The democratic society and that Black man or Black woman's mind, it's finally becoming what it's supposed to be. It finally says that all men are created equal. When they wrote that, Black people were slaves. But in that starch mind, that mind that sees this democratic society as the way out and have hope in it. Have hope in this system. Man, they're giving us a holiday, man. They making Juneteenth just as big as 4th of July. And you think I'm going to allow you to come and tell me that we need to be keeping Torah? No, no, sir. I done built me a life here in this here America. I know you can't listen to Yay. But you always say, tell them whether they're here or for that. Tell them. That's false hope. It's Juneteenth. And it's a many. It was soon that I didn't even know. My young told me that the day we were supposed to wear all black. I'm mad that I had on black sweatpants. Man, I'm not wearing these black sweatpants for no Juneteenth. Whenever them holidays come around, if it got a color to it, I try not to wear it. I wear the opposite. You better believe I'm going to wear something that shows the word of Yahweh on it. No. But we were really past the real point today. All over, Yahweh ain't on that parade, though. Yahweh's here on that day. Y'all going to be out there celebrating that here in Baltimore. Y'all Juneteenth, he came down with some good rain. And I did, no doubt. You won't have that tonight. You won't have that false hope. It came down on. So let's read some. We're going to go into Jeremiah today. We're going to read a lot in Jeremiah for those who don't know what Jeremiah is. We're going to start in Jeremiah 29. We're going to read and hear some things. Listen, Shema to the word. Hear the mindset of the people and see if it relates to the mindset of the day. As we read and go through this journey through Jeremiah when Yahweh took us through, we're going to go through like 6 different journeys in Jeremiah. Actually, 7. 7 different chapters. But it's a journey. A journey is a picture that Yahweh painted beautifully. Beautifully in his word. So we're starting at Jeremiah 29, and we're starting at 4:9. Verse 4 going through 9. Yahweh of armies, the Elohim of Israel, says to all the captives whom I have caused to be carried away captive to Jerusalem, to Babylon, from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat there, take wives and father sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may their sons and daughters multiply there and don't be diminished. Seek the shalom of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to Yahweh for it. For in its shalom you will have shalom. For Yahweh of armies, the Elohim of Israel, says, don't let your prophets who are among you and your diviners deceive you. Don't listen to your dreams or your dreams which you call to dream. Amen. For they prophesied falsely my name. I have not sent them, says Yahweh. We talked about this last week, not in this manner, but we talked about the same thing last week about all these false prophets. And let's move away from the prophet, a priest, a preacher, an imam, and all that. Let's look at those who's rising up and trying to teach word, trying to lead people in a certain direction. Let's look at that. They lead in Israel somewhere. And I'm with you, Shabbat. Where in the world all these fireworks come from? It's like every night somebody blasting fireworks. Every night. They've been going in for the last 3 weeks. Like they've given them away or something. But let's move on. That's half the time. We ain't gonna pay no money. Jeremiah, let's go back up to 4. Jeremiah 4, and we're going to start at 19 through 31 for those who are taking notes. Now listen. My anguish, I am pained at my very heart. My heart trembles within me. I can't hold my throne because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction on destruction is decreed. For the whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are destroyed and my curtains gone in a moment. How long will I see hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish. They don't know me. They are foolish children, and they have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but they don't know how to do good. I saw the earth, and behold, it was waste and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I saw the mountains, and behold, they trembled. All the hills moved back and forth. I saw, and behold, there was no man, and all the birds of the sky had fled. I saw, and behold, the fruitful fields was a wilderness, and all its cities were broken down at the presence of Yahweh before his fierce anger. For Yahweh says, the whole land will be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. For this the earth will mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have planned it, and I have not repented, neither will I turn back. Please, the noise of the horsemen and archers, they go into their thicket and climb up on the rock. Every city is forsaken, and not a man dwells therein. You, when you are made desolate, what will you do? Though you clothe yourself with scarlet, though you deck yourself with ornaments of gold, though you enlarge your eyes with makeup, you make yourself beautiful in vain. Your lovers despise you. They seek your life. Now look at that. Look at Israel. Today, let me read that again, and you see Israel. Look at Israel. Again, like Adam and Eve, we're trying to clothe ourselves instead of being clothed in the righteousness of God. Just like Adam and Eve, take them pigs, y'all. Let me clothe y'all. We don't want that. When you are made desolate, what will you do? So you clothe yourself with scarlet, so you deck yourself with ornaments of gold, so you enlarge your eyes with makeup, you make yourself beautiful in vain. Your lovers despise you. They seek your life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, the anguish as of her who gives birth to her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, who gasps for breath, who spreads her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul faints before the murderer. And that is it. But what happened? We're being lullaby. Hey, all of a sudden, they're going to give us life. All of a sudden, they're going to love us. All of a sudden, everything's going to turn, and we're going to be together. Let's move on, Israel. We're going to Jeremiah 8, starting at chapter 18, and we're going to go through 9, 1 through 6. That's 8. That's 18 through 9, 1 through 6. 8, 18, 9, 1 through 6. Let me get there, family. Oh, that I could comfort myself against sorrow. My heart is faint within me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people from the land that is very far off. Isn't Yahweh in Zion? Isn't her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their engraved images and with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I mourn. Dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Galilee? Is there no physician there? Why then isn't the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Moving on to 9:1. Oh, that my head was watered and my eyes a spring of tears, that I may weep the day, weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongue as their bow for falsehood. They have grown strong in the land, but not for truth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they don't know me, says Yahweh. Everyone beware of his neighbor, and don't trust in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will go around with slander. Everyone will deceive their neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They worry themselves committing iniquity. Your habitation is the middle of the sea. To know me, saith Yahweh. Again, that false hope is not going to lead us back to Yahweh. He said, through deceit, they refuse to know me. Through all these distractions, as the brother brought out weeks ago, through all this falsehood, through all this living and reaching for hope everywhere else, you won't get to know me. You won't get to know me. Let's move on to Jeremiah 12, 6 through 10, family. That's 12, 6 through 10. I'm going to put me some water. For even your brothers and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Even they have cried aloud after you. Don't believe them, though they speak beautiful words to you. Though they speak beautiful words to you. Though they speak smooth words to you. Though they act like they are for you. God is saying, don't believe them. Yah, he said, Tobiah, I am your good Israel. Yahweh is our good. He said, no matter what they've done, don't believe them, Israel. I have forsaken my house. I have cast off my sight. I have given them the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of my enemies. My heritage has become to me as a lion in the forest. She has uttered her voice against me. Therefore, I have hated. Is my heritage to me as a speckled bird or prey? Are the birds of prey against her all around? Go, assemble all the animals of the field. Bring them to the mouth. Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pasture, my pleasant portion, a docile wilderness. And again, do not look at the priest and the prophet just as the shepherds of people. You got these Black Lives Movement that's popping up. You got, throughout the history of time, you have a multitude of groups popping up, trying to do good in the black community, trying to do good. But again, Yahweh said in a few scriptures earlier where we read, they don't know how to do good. They don't know how to do good. If it's Yahweh's plan to put these people through that, and it was Yahweh's plan to put these people through that so they can come to understand who he is, so they can cry, Abba, no matter what we do, is not going to change their situation until they cry Abba, until they turn back to Yahweh. They don't know. We don't know how to be good. And again, back in the 60s, I only read about it when the Black Panthers went around, and what I had understood and what I had read, they formed groups to go and feed the children. They were protecting the neighborhood. And that seems like a noble and honorable thing. But they're not pushing people back to thus saith Yahweh. Now, along the line, you're feeding people, you're protecting people, and eventually you start turning them back to Yahweh. I understand that. Yeah, I do understand the mindset of people, or you take the addict of anything, whether it be sugar, whether it be cocaine, no matter whether it be coffee, no matter anything you are addict of, you just can't get them off of that. You just can't come and say you need to stop. You have to be able to break down that mental dependency on whatever substance it is. The same thing we have to do for this world out here. The same thing Yahweh had to do to Israel when they was in Mitzrayim, Egypt. The scripture says he had to bring them up and out. No different today. No different today. But there is hope for this people. There is hope, and Yahweh is our hope. Yahweh is our hope. I have one more, couple more, and this is in Jeremiah 21, that's 1 through 8. Jeremiah 21, 1 through 8. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh when King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur, the son of Melchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, saying, "Please inquire of Yahweh for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, makes war against us. Perhaps Yahweh will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may want withdraw from us." Then Jeremiah said to them, "Tell Zedekiah, Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, says, Behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, with which you fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans who besiege you outside the wall. And I will gather them into the middle of this city. I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm in wrath and in great indignation. I will strike the inhabitants of this city, both man and animal. They will die of a great pestilence. Afterwards, says Yahweh, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Yehuda, his servants, and the people, even those who are left in the city, from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those who seek their life. He will strike them with the edge of the sword. He will not spare them, have pity, or have mercy. You shall say to this people, Yahweh says, Behold, I will set before you the way of life and the way of death. It's all Yahweh. There's nothing man can do to turn back the hand of Yahweh. Nothing. Nothing nobody can do. And I understand what I'm saying. We can repent. That is the only way that we can turn back the hand of Yahweh, is get this people to repent. That's the only way we can turn back this hand. There's no Juneteenth. There's no 4th of July. There's no Kumbaya. There's no none of that till we repent. And that's in turn back from our wicked ways. False hope, Pat. And we got one more scripture tonight, and it's still in Jeremiah, and it's Jeremiah 3, 12 through 15. And this will be my last scripture for tonight. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, you backsliding Israel, says Yahweh. I will not look in anger on you, for I am merciful, says Yahweh. I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against Yahweh your Elohim, and have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says Yahweh. Return, backsliding children, says Yahweh, for I am a husband to you. I will take one of you from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family, the battle and the harvest is many, but through Yahweh, we can reach those who he sends Yahweh. May it be our prayer each and every day that we ask Yahweh to give us his word to go out here and free somebody. Just let me plant a seed, Yahweh. Just let me plant a seed and somebody else water it, and we know you won't get it in free. But that's your word. Let that be our prayer. Let that be our prayer for those. Because, again, we know that they are sick. No, let me rephrase that. We are sick. And you just like that person who have a dependency on something else, you just can't go and say, stop. We have to use the tactic that Yahweh has given us. And what is that tactic that he has given us? He said, I have joined thee with love and kindness. Within that love and kindness is everything that we need. That is his son, Yahushua HaMashiach. And we will be able to use it as an army swift knife. Whatever we need it for, it will appear, and Yahweh will give us the word to speak. Because again, we are dealing with a mind that has been downtrodden, oppressed. Well, now it's time to speak the hard thing, to say we have been living wrong for so many years, and we are still trying to depend on a system that wasn't built for us, and that is this world system. We ain't just talking about here in the United States. We're talking about the world. This is how Satan's world. He is the ruler. He is running things. The world system is ran by him out of that. Not just this thing here in America, but up out of this world system, and show them that there is a better kingdom coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me get to my what's the name, family? My clothing, scripture. And that is the end of today's blog talk, family. Pray for everybody got something. If not, I read too fast or talked too fast. It's in the archives. We can always go back and look in there. You can always go back and read it again or listen to it again. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Child of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Abba Yah, for allowing me to speak your words, for speaking to me, Father. I thank you. I ask that you be all three, Father, that you be the seed, planter, the waterer, and the one to give the increase, Father. Because we know when you do it, everything will be all right, Father. Father, give Israel the mind to do your will, Father. To do your will, Father. What thus saith Yah. Give them the strength of David, to go out there and do your will, Father. So that's what we live for, Father, to do thy will, Father. And even in our shortcomings, Father, you show your mercy towards us. So we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your Shabbat, Father, so we can have rest, Father, so we can get away from this world system, Father, and bask in that great Shabbat that's coming, Father. This is just a preview, Father. As your word said, a shadow of good things to come. We thank you, Father. All in the way, Father, I ask and pray for them, Father, that you give a special helping, a special reward upon them, Father, that they may continue in your ways, Father. All of our King, Father, that you continue to give them your spirit, Father, all the Okotis, all the Emas, all the elders, all the Yaladi, the whole house of Israel, Father. And Yahushua, holy and precious name, Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Israel.
Son of Nun, who brought I and I across River Jordan, and though the Amorites and the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites all tried to fight against the Israelites, Jah gave us victory before the daylight. 'Cause we call on Jah, Jehovah and I and the Gideon, Israel.
Find the song.